You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, October 7th, 2011. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Today on the program, what's Casual Friday? Wait, did you put on the Casual Friday thing?
Yes, I did. That was the Casual Friday thing.
Oh,
way to pay attention.
I know. I'm so casual today, I didn't even listen to our own intro. Today on the program, me, your calls, Chris Rosen. The latest from the Scream Majority. It's so casual this week that Cliff Schechter is taking an early vacation.
He casually did not show up.
Jimmy Reefercake casually said, oh, here's a repeat song. Jimmy, we don't do repeat songs on the show because it's all available via podcast. But Scream Majority came in. And I want to do something different today. We've got Matt will be tweeting out our number, 646-257-3920. Folks, if you are going down to one of the Occupy, not necessarily Wall Street, I guess, but one of the Occupy protests around the country, call in, give us an update. There are so many protests going around the country. It's stunning. I'm trying to get my list. Where did my list go? I just had it here somewhere. So we were down there yesterday, had a great chance to talk to Naomi Klein, do the show with those young kids. I didn't realize how young they were. They're like 14. Jamie and Allison. No, they're not. They're not that young. I'm not that old. But we were down there. It was pretty an amazing time. Matt was very, very excited. He spent his whole time looking for the Occupied Wall Street Journal, and apparently our guy on the scene, Jeff, has secured one for Matt. There were so many more people there than the week and a half before we were down there. It was stunning. And if you have not heard the conversation we had with Naomi Klein, you should listen to it. I mean, she is fantastic in any occasion, but there, I don't know if there's anyone who we speak to on this program who has a better sense of uninstitutionalized social movements, at least in you know, sort of our part of the hemisphere, which is a little slow on this stuff, than Naomi Klein. And so her insights into this are fantastic and well worth the listen. And frankly, the whole show I thought was great. Jeff, the Majority Report member, and I think he's probably one of our first sort of official correspondents, has been down in Occupy Wall Street as a participant and for the entire 2.5 weeks now. And we now have, like I said, over 200, I think it is, We got to find it at Daily Kos. I know that Chris Bowers has put together an entire sort of resource of
Portland had a absolutely huge march, like bigger than some of the earlier Occupy Wall Street in New York marches. They had 4,000 people show up in Portland. So all you other Occupy cities better up those numbers.
You get on the ball. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I was looking for. Yes.
All right, and we're going to start taking your calls in just a moment. So hang in there. The number is 646-257-3920. I know we already have a caller on the phone. We'll get to you in just a moment. 646-257-3920 is the number. And like I say, we will get to you in just a second. First off, you know, I saw on Twitter really interesting breakdown of what's going on down in Wall Street by Clay Shirky. He is sort of that internet writer. I don't know exactly what his title is, but he's a professor, but he's very much associated with the internets. And Clay Shirky had a series of tweets that I thought was really spot on. He writes, groups of voters have incompatible goals. So working democracy doesn't produce coherent policies, but livable compromises. He then goes on to say the message of Occupy Wall Street is not, quote, here's our 9-point plan. The message of Occupy Wall Street is, this is not a livable compromise. Occupy Wall Street, in his next tweet, doesn't win by proposing a better compromise. They win by subjecting the current one to disintegrating pressure. So a fascinating theory on this. I will, let's go to the phones. Who's on the phone right now? Get on the phones, Matt. Get on the phones. Forget the screening. Hello, who's there?
Hey, this is Ian calling in from Baltimore.
Ian, Occupy Baltimore. Welcome to the program, Ian.
Thank you. Yes, we are, I guess we're in day 4 now of our occupation.
Yeah.
And things are going pretty strong. We got 30 or 40 people sleeping out every night. And about 200 to 250 people at our General Assembly meetings. And we're looking at having a pretty crazy weekend because there's several thousand people who are, you know, following us on Facebook and liking us and RSVPing and stuff. So I think we're going to have a serious swell once, you know, people who are working during the week and can't make it out have some time to come down over the weekend.
And so... do you have a, I mean, how is it going in terms of like, are they allowing you to sleep in this park? You had mentioned the other day that the city was, working fairly well with the protesters. Is that still the case?
We're having some complications. The police have recommended that we apply for a permit, and the General Assembly voted to apply for a permit. But we're having some difficulty with the details because the permit asks us to define our purpose, and it is for a limited length of time that the occupation is we're not committing to ending. So we're having some difficulty exactly with how we're going to fill out our application. But if we eventually do get a permit, that would allow us to set up tents, which I think would give us a little bit more structure to sort of establish ourselves. Because right now, there's no structures allowed, and that's going to be an issue if we get some bad weather.
That's interesting. So you need to get a permit to get the structures. But if you get a permit, it may necessarily mean that you need to put down a limited amount of time there, which could ultimately end up being some grounds to kick you out of where you are.
Right, and the thing is that they've asked us to get a permit regardless. So they've been nice about it. They've been like, hey, please apply. But every day the cops come over and are like, hey, do you have your permit yet? So there is sort of this implication, like, if we don't get that done, that they are going to try to remove us. So I'm not sure exactly where this is going to go. I don't think the city wants to be seen as pushing a bunch of people who are peacefully demonstrating out of, like, one of the few free speech zones downtown. But I wouldn't put it past them to use the permit issue as an excuse if we don't go through with it, because it would give them at least some, you know, leeway in the press to say, hey, look, we gave them an opportunity and they didn't comply.
Right.
So I'm not sure how it's going to go, but, you know, I think we're gonna be out and we're going to resist no matter what they do. So if they're going to try to remove us, it's going to be an interesting issue. On the plus side, we are allowed to have amplified sound, and we have access to electricity. So we've been doing on and off live streaming video, and we have mics and a PA system. So things are going well on that front. And right now, we're really just trying to do as much outreach as possible, which the committee is kind of, it's been fits and starts. But we have a bunch of labor organizations that are really interested. We're just trying to put together some events that they can bring their people down for.
Interesting. And of the people who are there, you said about 200 a day and there's 50 sleeping out. Give me a breakdown. Who are these people? I mean, demographically speaking, young, I imagine, at least.
It's interesting. We have kind of a couple of different groups of people. I mean, there's a couple of existing radical organizations in Baltimore, you know, some anarchists and socialists, people like that, who have been having a major presence. But the people out on the General Assembly, I mean, there's a lot of college students, a lot of older people. You know, it's a really broad group. And the people sleeping out, I would say, is probably a bit more of the younger people, especially a lot of people who are currently jobless, who don't have somewhere to go in the morning. You know, I spent the night out on Wednesday. I'm going to be spending the night out here every 1 to 2 days or so, because I really want this to last, and I know that if we really dwindle at night, if they're going to want to remove us, that's when they're going to do it.
Right, they're going to do it during the week.
Yeah, exactly. When there might be 2 in the morning, like 2 in the morning when there's, you know, when there's a few people, and it's easier to just mop everybody out and say, hey, like, wake up, you're leaving, and there's going to be a lot less resistance when everybody's groggy.
Now, Ian, I'm looking at a list of over 200 Occupy events in the country. I mean, Alabama, Alaska, tons in California and Colorado, Florida, Delaware, Hawaii, Idaho. I mean, it's all alphabetical because I'm looking at this list.
Portland,
Maine, I mean, in New Mexico, in Roswell, in North Carolina, there's a half dozen or more. Ohio, there's a half dozen or more. Let me ask you this. Are you guys in contact? Like, is there anybody from New York or from some of the other more established Occupy protests coming in and giving you guys advice on, hey, this is the way that we set up our General Assembly, this is the way that we set up our community in the park? Are you getting any type of, like, do you have any outside resources?
Yeah, we have someone from Occupy Philadelphia who was down last night talking about kind of what they've been dealing with and their process for applying for a permit and their General Assemblies. I know a couple of people in the group have been up to Occupy New York, Occupy Wall Street, and, you know, it's a smaller number than the overall group, but we definitely have a couple of people who have been, you know, through the different organizations. Some people from Occupy D.C. have made their way through. I guess maybe they're Occupy K Street. I can't remember. It's hard to keep the name straight.
All right. Well, fascinating stuff. Anything else, Ian, that we're not getting a sense of?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to take some time, but we're getting a lot of local media coverage, and I think that if people can get their local protest on their local news, we can kind of catapult the national like media's absolute lack of an understanding or willingness to cover this, unless it's negative. If you know your local media station's phone number or email address or even the reporter's Twitter accounts, send them a message. Say, hey, show up. We're here. Tell them when your General Assembly is. They love shots of stuff like that. Crowds of people talking under a microphone. The people's mic is awesome for video. It's the kind of stuff that a local news station really would like to put on their television because, you know, there's probably not a lot going on in most places. We've been on all of the local stations. I got interviewed on our CBS affiliate yesterday. You know, it's just a matter of get out to the local resources. And if you mention the Occupy movement on your local station, they're going to mention it's an offshoot of Occupy Wall Street. And that's, you know, however many tens of thousands of people more who are going to be hearing about this.
All right, Ian, that's interesting. You know, I mean, and it's good to hear that people have the savvy of realizing, you know, what things are going to function to get them publicity with the media. I mean, it's true. People are fascinated by the people's mic. And my daughter and I, 6-year-old daughter, were watching it last night before she went to bed. Because she was so sort of interested in what was going on that live feed. So, where can people check out the live feed for Baltimore in particular?
It goes up and down at times, but I believe it's a website like livestreaming.com/OccupyBaltimore.
Okay.
And that URL may not be perfectly correct, but if you check out the Occupy Baltimore Twitter or Occupy bmore.org, then you can get all that information.
Thanks for calling in, Ian. I appreciate the phone call.
Thanks for covering it, man. Thanks for doing all of this. You're one of the few good ones.
I appreciate it. So there you have it. Listener Ian calling in from Occupy Baltimore. Folks, if you are at an Occupy site right now, if you're part of any of the literally hundreds of Occupy protests going on around the country, definitely call in 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920. Want to reserve calls for just those people who are at Occupy Wall Street sites, or I guess if you have something you want to talk about, it is also good. And I will get to your call. If you're hanging on, I'll get to your call in just a moment. It's pretty stunning, the debate that's going on in so many different circles about this. But we're going to try and get this guy for the show. Next week, incidentally, just a little bit of house cleaning. We're going to have the first 3 days of the week are going to be pre-taped. A combination of I have to do some watching of my daughter. They have school off on Monday, and Nikki's on the road. And also I will be on the road going to the Mass Torts Conference. Next week we'll have a double shot of Cliff Schechter towards the end of the week live. But on Monday we will have pre-recorded show as well as Tuesday and Wednesday, but great interviews. Charlie Savage, Eric Alterman, Randall Kennedy, Mike Lofgren, that former Republican staffer. Who's basically said the Republican Party has just turned into a cult. And I am very happy to retire now and never be a part of it again. But a really interesting piece by Justin Elliott, and I want to try and get this guy on the show. This is the co-founder and editor of Adbusters, Kale Lazin. I don't know how to pronounce his name or her name for that matter. Adbusters made the original essential call back in July for 20,000 people to occupy Wall Street on September 17th. And, you know, this was picked up by Anonymous and then other people. What really struck out for me was this question. One Adbusters editor was quoted as saying, "The role of the magazine in this is philosophical. Can you define the philosophy behind this?" We are not just inspired by what happened in the Arab Spring recently, he said. We are students of the Situationist movement. Now, longtime listeners of the show know that I am a bit of a Situationist fetishist. The Situationists were born out of the Lettriste Internationale back in the 50s, early 60s, became the Situationist Internationale. There, nobody really knew how many of them there were. Probably just literally, maybe at its height, dozens, led by Guy Debord. And they were a philosophical movement who many people think were responsible for at least instigating the riots in 1968 in Paris. They were certainly very inspirational for things like the Sex Pistols. I'm holding up here for those watching on the Sammy Cam the cover of my ill-fated movie, A Bad Situationist, which of course is available to you as swag if you become a Majority Report member at majority.fm. Stars Sarah Silverman, David Cross, Janine Garofalo, John Benjamin, Ross Broccoli, Mark Maron, others. And the Situationists essentially felt that our emotions had been codified. Look, it's very hard to explain this in even, well, it's almost impossible to read Guy Debord. The sort of Reader's Digest version is that the Situationists felt that our emotions were being turned into commodities and sort of processed and sold back to us by, for lack of a better term, the machine. And what they were trying to do was break out of that by creating events or spectacles. And or I guess events that would shatter the spectacle. And he writes, the idea is that if you have a very, or answers the Adbusters, if you have a very powerful meme, a very powerful idea, and the moment is right, then that is enough to ignite a revolution. This is the background we came out of this. 1968 was more of a cultural revolution. This time, I think it's much more serious. In many respects, this is also the difference in terms of, like, you know, we were talking about with Naomi Klein, the difference between, and I don't know if serious is necessarily the right word, in comparison of the protesters who were in the park and sort of the 1968 hippie movement in this country, because they were, it was fairly serious in, as far as civil rights and fighting our involvement in wars. But there is an opportunity here to for these people in the park and unions, I guess, essentially, to mobilize around issues of economic justice, which is and this includes, I think, in to some respects, environmental issues and consumption issues and broader societal issues. But at its heart, the complaints, the sense of we are the 99% is a function of economics. And it's just fascinating to see this grow. Let's go back to the phones. You're calling from a 214 area code. Who is this? Hello?
Longtime Cedar Rista, Nancy in Dallas.
Ah, Nancy, how are you? Hold on for 1 second. Let's get this going. Hold on.
I'm so fine.
Hi, Nancy. How are you?
I am calling in to give you a report on Occupy Dallas.
All right, let's hear it.
All right.
Only Nancy gets a shofar and a fanfare on the same call.
Thank you. We are in day two of the occupation. Yesterday was our launch march. We marched on the Federal Reserve Bank, which is one of the cities that have a branch. Our local Fox News station reported 500 people in the march, which probably means we had 750 to 1,000. We have at least 200 people a night at the, we call it the PAD, the People's Assembly of Dallas. That's our General Assembly meeting. We had about 100 camp out last night.
Wow.
It's going well. It's going well considering it's Dallas.
And what's the relationship between the protesters and the police?
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. That was one of the first issues brought up at our PAD last night. The police have been wonderful with us. There were some legal situations. We have been having our PADs at the JFK Memorial. We're a block off the grassy knoll right behind our courthouse. We've been having our meetings at the JFK. It's a small square park about a block from the grassy knoll. And the county controls that property. And the county did allow about 100 folks to camp out there last night. According to our team that's working on that, logistics, we had permission for one night there. They're continuing to talk to both the city and the county. We do have one of those ordinances where you are not allowed to sleep outside at night. So they're working with the city and the county to find a location where we can permanently occupy.
Excellent. Excellent. And
I know.
Is there a site where people can go to get more information if they want to watch the live streaming, if they want to get an idea, maybe they want to go down there? Where can people get more information?
OccupyDallas.org, Facebook/OccupyDallas. It's OccupyDallas@gmail.com. I run the site North Texas Progressive. I've been trying to tweet a lot. A lot of the folks that run the websites get really busy with the marches.
Uh-huh.
You can also follow North Texas Progressive, NTX Progressive.
And are you getting a lot of local media coverage?
Tons. Just Google Occupy and Dallas, and you won't believe it.
Fascinating.
We had NPR. We had all of our local stations. It's all been good. It's all been good reports. No arrests so far. But it's all been really good.
All right. Well,
and
Nancy.
The conditions of the police have been really good.
Thanks for calling in, Nancy. I appreciate it. Great
thanks,
stuff.
Thanks, Sammy, for continuing to talk about this. Hey, thanks for doing the Adbusters interview, too.
No problem. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Let's go to, you're calling from a 512 area code. Who's on the phone?
Yeah, this is Susan from Austin.
Hi.
And I just wanted to say I took my 15-year-old and a bunch of his friends down to Occupy Austin last night.
Uh-huh.
It was so cool here. It was very cool, and it was a really interesting mix of people. There were lots of people with their kids, and our Occupy event took place in front of the City Hall, and they were actually in session last night. So it was kind of, there were a bunch of people in suits, and they came out and participated. So there was certainly a lot of Austin's a huge student town, so there were a lot of those people there, but there were really young people, older people, people with their kids. It was really great. And the police were awesome.
Yeah, it's
we
Austin.
We made the front page
right?
of the newspaper.
I mean, Austin cops,
yeah,
I would imagine, tend to be a little bit more they probably go with the flow a little bit better than most cities.
It was very laid back. There were lots of people carrying signs, walking around next to police officers that said, you know, APD is part of the 99%. And the police were laughing, and it was such a nice vibe. And there were like 1,300 people, I think, is what the newspaper said. But
wow.
We made the front page of the Statesman. So, but it was what I was impressed with was we expected all of the people with their drums and all the because we kind of have that regularly here. It's a Thursday night in Austin, but the variety of people that showed up, and it was really great. But lots of people in suits, lots of people. There was one guy, I tried to take his picture, and then I sort of got shy about taking some stranger's picture. But he was all dressed up, and he had a sign that said, "Love America enough to protect the 99%.
Wow, that's
so
great
it
stuff.
It was great. It was, yeah, and it was great to see my kids out there being a part of it.
Yeah, good
anyway,
for you to bring your kids down
to
there.
Say, and,
all right. Well, thank you so much for calling in. That's awesome. I appreciate the phone
okay,
call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Now, you know, I didn't get to this. We were talking about a little bit on the show yesterday. But apparently, the people at CNN have a real problem with this. Some of those financial people really have a real stunning problem with this. You know, we talked about Aaron Ross Sorkin, you know, heading down to Occupy Wall Street because some bank CEO told him to. Here is here's the piece. I hadn't heard this part about Erin Burnett. I know she had tweeted, but I didn't realize she has a segment called Seriously? Am I wrong? I mean, because I never watch Saturday Night Live anymore, but is that... Do you watch Saturday Night Live? Do you watch Saturday Night Live?
I do. That sounds to me like a certain segment on SNL, yes.
Isn't that the, like the... What's-his-face's... I can't remember his name.
Yeah. Seth Meyers.
Right, yes. I mean, I've... Well, it's named on Friday, so I think I can say...
I've hung out with him.
On occasion. I think it was back actually during the DNC. I think we were hanging out the DNC in 2008. But he has a thing where his whole joke, it's named on Friday, but...
That's still a lazy conceit.
That's more like a radio conceit. Like, that's something I'll do. Like, seriously? You know, that's... But that's his joke setup. And so she does this, I guess, thinking like, well, if he does it... Boy, she bad. She's bad. But aside from being bad, she also seems to be, well, I don't know. I guess the jury's out. She's either an idiot or just a huge liar. And I'm going to go with, well, this also could be just enormously lazy and too self-satisfied. It's probably a combination of all three. I'm not sure if we see all three in this clip, but let's play this clip. This is Erin Burnett. This is just a day and a half ago, I guess. I've completely lost sense of time. Erin Burnett headed down to Occupy Wall Street. She shot, like, look, we were down there. We saw this guy who's in this clip, actually. He was hanging out when we were interviewing Naomi Klein.
He was probably standing a foot from Naomi Klein listening into our show live.
Yeah. Yes. And are there people there who look a little freaky or wearing funny glasses? Yes. And I would say the percentage of those people relative to the entire size of the crowd is somewhere between 1 and 3%. There's a lot of people there who look, frankly, like you, Matt.
Are you saying I'm one of those freaky-looking people? Or?
No, I'm saying that you look like somebody who maybe doesn't, who hasn't been out and hasn't taken a shower in a couple days.
Thank you.
You've been sleeping outside. No, it's just like, you know, a
I
lot
take
of people
pride
look
in
like
that.
Kids, you know, wearing, you know, a hoodie because that's what they, you know. And so here is Erin Burnett doing this serious report. She goes down there and... She really fakes out this ad sales guy or this former marketing guy or computer software developer. But let's listen to this clip.
Hey, seriously? The Occupy Wall Street protest entered its third week today. What started as less than a dozen college students camping out in a park near the New York Stock Exchange is now hundreds of protesters, and it's spread to other cities. But what are they protesting? Nobody seems to know. So this afternoon, we went to Wall
Stop.
Street to find out. And
nobody's 3 weeks into this, she's saying, and nobody seems to know. When was this? This is 2 days ago, right?
Yes.
And she's claiming that nobody seems to know. She has apparently has either a very limited social and news circle. You know, I mean, she could have said, like, some people think they have an idea, or there's some places where you can say, but nobody seems to know. Nobody. 3 weeks into it. It's stunning. In fact, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who could actually say, nobody seems to know anymore. You know, I mean, if she had done this 3 weeks ago.
I mean, even that bank CEO who told Andrew Ross Sorkin to get down there seemed to have a better grasp of what was going on
That's
than
a very good
than
point.
Her.
That's a very good point. Maybe she should get Andrew Ross Sorkin's, Rolodex and call that bank CEO to ask him. All right, let's keep playing.
Despite what you heard, here's what I saw. It's not just a bunch of dancing hippies protesting. There are all kinds of people there. Babies, teachers, cheerleaders, Uncle Sampta, and... that. Pause Seriously, it. It's amazing.
That. She was talking about him being, incidentally, if you're not seeing the picture. But aside from that, you see, the sort of the rhetorical little game she plays here? It's not just a bunch of hippies. There's also a bunch of other freaks and teachers. Right? There's cheerleaders and that and teachers. So it's not just hippies, folks. I don't want you to think I'm judging. It's not just hippies. There's also a bunch of freaks and teachers.
Mixed bag, but they were happy to take some time from their books, banjos, bongos, sports drinks, catered lunch. Yeah, there was catered lunch. Designer yoga clothing.
Pause it.
Oh my God, not catered lunch. You mean people have to eat?
Oh, there's a catered lunch as opposed to what? It's not a home-cooked meal that they're doing in the park. Yeah, I mean, there's no Bunsen burners there. No, they bought pizza from across the street, or people sent them pizza. It's not a catered lunch. It is stunning. Keep going.
I also like how she says banjos like this. Banjos? Like she has no idea how to say the word.
Right. Weird instruments.
That's a Lululemon logo. Computers. Lots of MacBooks and phones to help us get to the bottom of it. This is unemployed software developer Dan. What do you do for a living?
I'm a software developer.
Software developer.
Yes.
So currently employed or unemployed?
Unemployed.
Unemployed.
Unemployed, we like to call it.
Unemployed.
It's called Occupy Wall Street.
So do you know that taxpayers actually made money on the Wall Street bailout?
I was unaware of that.
They did. Absolutely. They made, not on GM, but they did on the on the Wall Street part of the bailout.
Okay.
Does that make you feel any differently?
Well, I would have to do more research about it, but
if I were right, it might.
Oh, sure.
Pause it. All right. This person is, and this is where obviously she's just lying or she's just stupid. And I would imagine, and these things aren't mutually exclusive, to be fair. She could be lying and she could be stupid. She could be willfully ignorant. But she really wanted to go down there and prove how clueless these people were. There's no reason to be mad at Wall Street. Now, GM, on the other hand, you could be mad at GM, but not Wall Street. Which I got to say is fairly coincidental, because here's a statement by way of Will Bunch and Brian Hickey of the local Independence Tea Party and what they have to say about Occupy Wall Street. Because the implication here that she's saying is that bailing out the banks was a great idea. But GM, we didn't make any money on that. But wonder where she got that concept from. Wonder where she got that sort of like that, I don't know if I would call it a talking point. The idea that Wall Street is the root of all evil is also an anathema to us. Like any other institution, Wall Street has its corrupt figures, and such individuals should be dealt with accordingly. But to condemn Wall Street en masse is akin to condemning our entire free enterprise system. Our association deplores corporate bailouts. GM. They're talking about GM. Corporate subsidies, Solyndra, and corporate welfare. Now, of course, we know that Solyndra and any solar subsidies are literally 2% of all the subsidies we give to energy, whether it's $50 billion for nuclear power, for another $10, $20 billion for coal, and another $10, $20 billion for oil subsidies. But it's the $500,000 loan, or the $1.5 million loan to Solyndra. That was the big problem. At the same time, however, we recognize the contributions and achievements of America's Chamber of Commerce. She's parroting the talking points of these Tea Party people. I guess that's not to be surprised. But let's keep playing with this video.
Seriously? That's all it would take to put an end to the unrest. Well, as promised, we did go double-check the numbers on the bank bailout, and this is what we found. Yes, the bank bailouts made money for American taxpayers right now to the tune of $10 billion, anticipated that it will be $20 billion. Those are seriously the numbers. And this was the big issue, so we solved it. In fact, the only reason we haven't made all the TARP money back is actually GM. But I don't see any protests in Detroit.
So there it is. And GM, probably, I think we're going to see the money. In fact, I think if you look at market capitalization, we probably have made money. We just haven't sold all the stock in there. But that's aside from the point, because she conflates bank bailouts with TARP. Yes, TARP was one element of the bank bailouts, but there was TALF, which is that short-term asset-backed securities loan facility, which essentially, there was a whole series of different instruments that allowed banks to borrow money from the Fed at 0% interest. And then what they did is turned around and loaned that money back to us at 1, 2, 3, 4% interest by buying U.S. Treasury bonds. So in other words, and we've talked about this many times, Matt, let me borrow $10. Okay, you give me $10. And you come to me and go, hey, can I borrow $10? Sure can. Just give me $11 tomorrow. You give me that $11, and then I give you back the 10 that I borrowed from you, and I have a buck. And I've just made a buck off of you, Matt. And you, in this instance, you are the taxpayer. Apparently, Erin Burnett, didn't she work on like CNBC? Didn't she work for like some financial channel? She couldn't figure that out. We also know the billions of dollars that was sent to AIG was basically a slush fund for other banks, particularly Goldman Sachs. We also know that we allowed the Bank of America to sell a bunch of their crappy mortgages to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So there's anywhere, I mean, the figures range from anywhere from like $1.5 to $3 trillion that have been spent on these bank bailouts. So the notion that it didn't cost any taxpayers any money is ridiculous, but that's not even relevant anyways. Because even if the bailouts cost no money, even if we made $10 billion on the bailouts, we still have a completely broken financial system because of the excessive leveraging and speculation these banks did, and it has destroyed the economy. There are, depending on how you calculate it, over 20 million people unemployed. There are millions of people whose mortgages are underwater. There are millions of people who have been subjected to mortgage fraud. There is ongoing mortgage fraud. So forget about the bailouts. Wall Street ruined our economy. Ruined our economy. The financialization of our economy is ruining our economy. The income disparity is ruining our economy. But Erin Burnett found it more convenient to just reduce it down to, did we make money on TARP?
You know, I find it interesting. If you're watching the video, which I'll probably put this one up on our YouTube for the day, you can when she asks him a question and he says, "Well, it's called Occupy Wall Street," there's a really quick clip of the park being on Liberty Street, as if to laugh at them, saying, "Well, you're not on Wall Street; you're on Liberty Street." It's like little things like that. If you throughout the whole video, right. There's little things like that. Just
you couldn't
peppered
sit down.
Throughout.
Yeah, you couldn't sit down. If you were making a hit piece on this, you couldn't sit down and do it better.
And they found a supporter who, unfortunately, I mean, not everyone is going to be as knowledgeable on all this as some, like, for example, that guy who took down Fox News, Jesse LaGreca. This guy, unfortunately, he just didn't know as much as maybe someone else knows, and they went out of their way to find someone like
that.
He
was smart enough to say, you know what, I don't believe you. Let me check. You know, let me check. I need to do more research on it.
Yep.
But if I wasn't lying and a shill for the banking industry, and was telling you the truth, would I be right? Oh, we solved it. That, what a moron. You know what? I'm going to make a prediction. Those people are going to be in that park longer than she will have a program on CNN.
Oh, that'd just be sweet, sweet irony. It'd be great.
Let's take a break, and we're going to go long today. We'll get Chris Rosen on the show in just a moment. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Chris Rosen. Then we'll play our shows for the week. And tech issues, folks. Chris Rosen, I didn't watch the movie that you suggested last week yet. Sorry, buddy. I've been very busy.
Oh, good. So we could just re-suggest it again, then.
You're like Jimmy Reefy Cake now. You're sending in old... Have you been down to Occupy Wall Street?
No. My girlfriend was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She writes for Raw Story.
Oh, she does?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
We should definitely, like, replace her with you.
Remember, well, I don't know if she has the movie expertise that I do, but her reporting skills are very good.
If she's ever watched a movie, aware of movies, she has the movie expertise that you have.
Fans of Majority Report can follow her. It's at Case
Wickman. Oh, come on. Give me a break.
K-A-S-E-W-I-C-K-M-A-N.
You know what? I wouldn't do that.
Just saying.
I wouldn't do that at all. I'll tell you why I wouldn't do that. Because you're gonna get a lot of people who are tweeting and going like, "Why are you with that guy?"
No.
Oh yeah, guaranteed.
I think they'll say, "Oh, he's so good."
Oh, my God.
So last week I suggested,
you know what you're like? You're like the Aaron Burnett of this program.
AJ Burnett?
No, the Aaron Burnett.
AJ Burnett.
Oh, you're a Mets fan, aren't you?
Yeah, oh yeah. You hate the Yankees too, though.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Wasn't it great? Don't you love watching them lose?
I do. I really do.
It's just the greatest thing.
This is what it's nice that you and I can come together over something like this.
Oh, they're so awful. All their stupid fans. The idea of their stupid fans leaving that stadium last night so unhappy just brings a smile to my face.
This is the one thing you and I can agree on, Chris, so it's really nice. But I don't have time. So what are the movies for this week?
Well, last week I suggested the Pearl Jam documentary, Pearl Jam 20. I think you should still watch that.
I will. I'm going to. I have it on my list.
And I also think I don't think I suggested anything else. This week I wanted to suggest one that I remember I suggested earlier in the year and you couldn't watch because I mistakenly thought you had Time Warner. It's the Conan O'Brien documentary. Can't Stop. Ugh. It's now on Amazon. You're able to watch it, there. I think it's a good documentary. It's, about Conan O'Brien is, like, not ready for a primetime play or whatever the hell it was called, comedy tour. I know people don't care about Conan O'Brien anymore because the show is pointless and, you know, who cares? But it's still a good documentary, and it's nice to see another side of Conan. Nope, shaking your head.
No, I'm not shaking my head. Not interested. No, I know the guy. It's Name Drop Friday, but, I mean, I know the guy.
tell me how you know him.
Huh?
How do you know him?
I've written multiple scripts and done one pilot with him.
What's he like in real life?
Just like he is on the show, actually.
Just like Conan.
Yeah. I mean,
the other thing I want to suggest, the only problem is I don't see a way that you could watch it, so this is kind of dumb, but that awful Sarah Palin documentary is out on Amazon now, but I don't think it's on demand.
So wait, you don't know a way I could watch it?
Well, I'm not sure if it's on Amazon on
demand. I watch it? Well, I don't understand. What is wrong with
you? I'm not sure if it's on Amazon on demand.
Why don't you just wait until it is?
Well, I mean, I don't think it will ever be because it's that stupid propaganda Sarah Palin documentary, The Undefeated. Do you remember when that came out?
Yeah, like I do want to see that.
There's an Amazon page for it. It's out now on DVD. No one's going to buy it because who would buy it?
You remember Josh, former producer of The Majority Report, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, he just IM'd me and said, the Conan doc sucked, nothing happened, and you don't learn anything.
Well, good for him, I guess.
Did you feel like you learned something?
I mean, you're not going to learn anything from Conan O'Brien documentary, but it's a fun, fun watch.
I'm not going to learn anything from it. What makes it fun?
Because it's Conan O'Brien. Do you like Conan O'Brien? If you like Conan O'Brien, you'll like it.
I mean, he's a nice guy, but I don't even watch his show that's on five nights a week. Why would I sit down to watch an hour and a half of him?
His show is actually on four nights a week.
Oh.
Thanks, Matt.
Answer the question!
What? I did. Just watch it.
No, not just watch it. What?
Why
is it fun? Why would I want to watch it?
I don't know. Why would you want to watch anything?
To learn something or to be entertained?
To be entertained. Just watch it.
I don't even get it out of my mouth. And you're like, no. If you're going to learn something from it, forget it, man. That's not movie. To experience something that I haven't experienced before. What am I possibly going to do with that hour and a half that I would commit to?
I think it's only like 80 minutes.
What's your you know what? Email me your girlfriend's information because
it
can't possibly be worse than this.
That's okay. The other movies I wanted to recommend, the Sarah Palin documentary, I thought I haven't actually seen that like the rest of America because no one saw it, but it would be nice if it was out.
I have to say that whether or not you've seen it or not is really not the movies that you haven't seen and recommended have been just as good, if not better, than the ones that you have seen and recommended. So
yeah, you do love that Marwin call.
Uh-huh.
Nothing. Marwin call. Remember I suggested that one without having seen it.
Yeah, that Marwin call. That was about the guy who was making –
with the tiny houses.
That movie was fantastic. That film is so fascinating.
And you learn something.
Anyway, I guess I learned something, but it was also just incredibly interesting. It was very, very interesting. I would highly recommend that. And I think the fact that you hadn't seen it is just a perfect example I'm talking about. That's probably one of the best recommendations you gave, and you never saw it.
Well, thank you, Sam. I appreciate the kind words. That's nice. It's nice that I make good recommendations.
So are there any other movies that you haven't seen that you'd like to recommend? Because those are the only ones I think I'm generally interested in.
Not off the top of my head, I can't think of any.
So what were you going to recommend aside from the other movie that you can't see and I can't see?
I was also going to recommend this week on Blu-ray, you're not going to go buy it, obviously, but this week on Blu-ray, Jackie Brown came out finally.
What are you talking about? Why would you say that?
I'm producing
a segment. Is geared towards me streaming this on Netflix or Amazon. And why?
Wait, let me finish.
Are you working for this company?
Will you let me finish? Jackie Brown came out on Blu-ray this week, and it's available on Amazon to watch instantly, and I think it would be a nice watch. I don't know if you've seen it in a long time. It's a very, very good movie, one of Quentin Tarantino's most underrated movies, and you know, I think it's nice that it's getting a little push on Blu-ray this week because not a lot of people are as interested in it as they are in like Kill Bill or Inglourious Basterds or Pulp Fiction because it's slower and not really as violent.
I like that movie. It's a good
movie. It's a great movie.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
You should
watch
it.
I know, like, Blu-ray is the most.
I'm just saying that was the peg to why
format I've ever heard of.
That was the peg to why I picked it. Not that I don't have. Who has a Blu-ray player?
I have no idea.
That was why I picked it.
I have no idea why you would own a Blu-ray player. I can barely. It just seems like it's a more expensive DVD player, right?
Right.
If you have a PlayStation 3, you have a Blu-ray player.
You know Matt has a PlayStation 3. He probably stays up till 3 in the morning playing fucking Gears of War or whatever it's called.
Excuse you. Gears of War is on Xbox 360, buddy.
Oh, okay.
You just got faced.
Oh, I got faced. I got faced by a nerd. Sorry.
All right. So your recommendations.
So another successful appearance.
Or what? What is it? Well, I don't even remember. This is so.
It was the Pearl Jam documentary for number one. I really think
okay,
you should watch.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that. The Conan documentary. No.
And Jackie Brown.
The Jackie
and the
Brown.
Sarah Palin documentary.
Great. This is it's such an incredible waste of time for everybody.
It's just a great segment. It was a lot of fun this week. And go Tigers, Sam.
All right, Chris. Thanks for joining us. Always, as usual, a pleasure. Wait a second.
Twitter.
Wait, wait.
At 42-inch TV.
Oh, wait. I know why I wanted you on this week.
Why?
Because, here we go. Drew emails me. Sam, I'm a fan and a member of both the Majority Report and Citizen Radio. It was awesome hearing my two favorite podcasts broadcasting together today. He sent this email to us yesterday. I think their brash attitude complements your depth of coverage very nicely. Thank you, Drew. You guys did a great show today, and I would love to see more of that in the future. Perhaps as a goodwill gesture, you could let them have Chris Rosen.
Who am I getting sent to?
Does it really matter?
Well, I mean, I'd like to know. I stopped listening when you said Aaron.
Hi, Chris. All right, folks, that's Chris Rosen. And now it is time for something that's going to be when did I say Aaron? I didn't even say the word Aaron.
I think he thought that was the guy's name, but wasn't it Drew?
Yeah. He stopped listening, period, long time ago, before I even... Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And, you know, for people who write me emails and say, I really think you're mean to Chris Rosen... I don't think it's appropriate. Look, you know, if I texted him one day and he said, like, look, I don't feel comfortable doing the show anymore because you're maligning my skills as a movie reviewer, then I wouldn't have him on.
There's no skills to malign because he's not a movie reviewer.
That's right. The guy is impervious to any criticism because he doesn't do anything. He's completely disinvested in anything. I should say he's disinvested in everything. He's invested in nothing. This guy. Unbelievable. All right. Well, let's wash our that taste out of our mouth, ladies and gentlemen, with this great song today from the Screaming Majority. Now, I will tell you this, folks. I think there are two reasons why the Occupy Wall Street protests continue to draw attention and excitement and enthusiasm. As opposed to, you know, a couple months ago, you got 100,000 union people in D.C. protesting, bigger numbers. But the two main reasons are, one, you have a group of people who are, like I've said before, showing such intense commitment. And doing it for a sustained period of time. And then number two is because of Tony Baloney, that cop who sprayed those women with pepper spray, sort of demanded the attention of the mainstream media. Now, I do think that it would have happened eventually if these people stuck it out and grew. But those two factors are we're really pushing over the edge. So here is Lonely Tony Baloney. And let me just read David Benjoy's as flaming liberals who want to put every hood on the couch. We decided to investigate the psychosexual angst of Deputy Inspector Baloney. And the results aren't pretty. Featuring the vocal debut of Mike DeSev, who, despite his French name, is as Italian as Sophia Loren and Mussolini driving a Ferrari full of meatballs into the Sistine Chapel. Written mostly by Paula Carino and Mike. So you see what Benjoy is doing here. He's trying to show the Italian bona fides of the creators of this song. So get ready for this. I figured there must be a couple of Italians in Worcester. But in case Massachusetts, you know what the number one ethnic background is in Massachusetts?
What's that?
I know you're going to think Irish, right?
That's what I would think, yes.
No, Italians.
Wow.
I figure there must be a couple of Italians in Worcester, but in case Matt comes from real America, brajoule is a kind of sausage. Mortadella, another kind of sausage, sausage of death. Pancetta is ham. Stunari means stupid. Fungula is a bad word. And here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Lonely Tony Baloney.
The crazy moon over Wall Street brings a tear to my eye. Mama, why these American girls, they gotta fuss and cry. When they march and get out of line, raise the hell. A man's gotta do what a man's gotta do and bust out his mortadell. Shut up with your First Amendment or it's no more Mr. Nicey. I sprinkle on the pepper cause I like my dishes spicy. We're the NY Fungalipede. If you wanna know who we are, this baloney has a last name. It's M-A-C-E-R. We'd hate to see you hurt yourself, so before you lose control, we'll roll you up in a plastic net and we make a nice brajoule. Ah. Now, everyone's mad and they got a big vendetta. They call me a pig and Officer Pancetta. I give these ladies the business back in 2004. Mama, don't nobody respect the law no more. I took a vow to protect and serve your Stunati sons and daughters. Don't they understand I'm just maintaining law and order? You're stealing my heart, I spray it in mace. A handy device to shut up in your face. Till you little heartbreakers learn in your place. What are you gonna do, make a federal case? We're the NY Bungalow PD, if you wanna know who we are. This baloney has a last name, it's M-A-C-E-R. We'd hate to see you hurt yourself, so before you lose control, we roll you up in a plastic net and we make a nice patrol. Hey!
Unbelievable.
They just outdo themselves
every
week.
Every week. They kick it up a notch. And not only... Wow. Crowd is going crazy.
For the record, by the way, I do come from Real America. If Real America is Queens, New York.
Yeah, Queens. Yeah, that's pretty... It is stunning. I mean, on so many levels, these guys are, it's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. Because, you know, and I got news for you. Tony Baloney is the linchpin of so much of this. All right, folks, we got to go. Oh, gosh. Wow, it's almost Freebie Friday. You guys got a huge bonus of a show. Members, there's thousands of you out there. Every day we give you, well, maybe not every day. We do a show every day. But I would say at least 3 to 4 times a week, we give you amazing, great shows. Yeah, one day a week, you know, what are you going to do? Even if we only gave you 4 shows a week, becoming a member would be worthwhile. But we give you 4 great shows and 1, good show. The great shows you can listen to twice. So it's almost like we're giving you 8 great shows and 1 good show a week. Please become a member. I don't know how to say it in any other way other than please, if you can afford it. If you cannot afford it and you want to become a member, email me at majorityreporters@gmail.com. We'll figure something out. We have a couple of members who have donated or actually like picked up a second membership to sponsor other people. And even if we don't have a specific sponsor for you, we'll work something out. Show has been growing exponentially. Members, not so much, but listeners, which is almost as good. You can also support the show by buying your junk through our Amazon link. You bookmark the link, buy all your junk through Amazon. You won't notice a difference, except for you'll just sense a little bit more optimism in my voice, I guess, because we get some kickbacks there. Of course, justcoffee.coop, coffee, tea, chocolate, fair trade. It's a co-op. Great folks in Madison, very supportive of the unions there and the protests there. And you get a 10% discount with the coupon code MAJORITY. How could you not do that? And you can support the show by donating your account at donateyouraccount.com/MAJORITYFM. I know you're not like those teenagers over at Citizens Radio. You're a little bit older, you're a little more reserved. You think, I don't know about this donate your account thing. Believe me, you can trust it. People love it. Makes your friends think you're smart. Makes your friends think you're the go-to political macher. All right, folks. We're doing some pre-tapes on Monday. We'll be back live next Thursday, but check out the show next week. And you can IM us and call us in the better half of the program.